Father, on this night, we give you praise for your Son, Jesus Christ, who was born this day. Thank you for this precious gift. And we pray that you would open our eyes to see that event afresh in our lives this night. Help us to receive all you'd have for us this evening. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, every time we hear the story of the birth of Jesus, it's different because we have changed. Much has happened in the past 12 months since our last journey to Bethlehem. We've experienced a pandemic that has killed 1.7 million people worldwide. You know, and at first we really didn't know anyone that had COVID-19. But now it seems like everyone has it. Even members of our family have contracted it. And all this has impacted the way that we live our lives and the way that we worship the Lord. And thus we're gathered here tonight in our homes rather than being together as we normally would be. As we read the Christmas story yet again this evening, the timeless, loving God that we serve speaks a fresh word in the chaos of the last year. The words spoken to the shepherds that night are words that we need to hear this night. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that is for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. You know, in reflecting upon the birth of the incarnate Christ, Paul wrote this from Titus chapter 2, verse 11. He said, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people." That baby, born in Bethlehem and placed in a manger because there was no place in the inn, turns out to be grace incarnate. Grace means God's undeserved, unmerited favor. And incarnate means embodied in the flesh. The Christ child is the physical manifestation of God's unmerited favor on humanity. He came in the flesh to save us, even though we did not deserve it. As Jesus was born, God's grace invaded the world. Bethlehem was like the beachhead, the first place of captured land, the entry and first point of invasion. And that act of grace changed the prospects of God's creation forever. God's grace stands in contrast to the values and the assumptions that our world lives by. Well, so according to popular tradition, tonight Santa is coming to town. And he's making a list. And he's trying to find out who's naughty and who's nice. And for the naughty, there will be a lump of coal. And for the nice, there's a big stack of toys and presents that will be waiting for you Christmas morning. Santa, used in this way, acts as a threat to children. If they're naughty, then they risk being told, "Santa is watching you, and so you better be good, or Santa won't come." Kids are supposed to try extra hard to be good, looking forward to the reward that will await them if they are. And because of this, we think that's the same way that God is. Some of us may see God as a father Christmas figure who keeps his eye on us, who wants us to be nice, and then if we are, he will give us everything on our big Christmas list. But there's a problem. None of us are nice according to God's standards. Each of us has sinned. Each of us has fallen short. We don't deserve anything good. We deserve to be punished for our sins. The glorious news of Christmas is that salvation is not about what we do for God, but what God has done for us. Christmas is shouting this message. In one word, it's called grace. So some experts from around the world were at a conference on comparative religion. And they were discussing what is it that made Christianity distinct from other religions. And C.S. Lewis walked into the room where these people were discussing all of this. And he said, "What is this all about?" And when they told him, he said, "Well, this is easy. It's about one thing, grace. Grace is what distinguishes Christianity from every other religion. How do we know that God is truly gracious to us? How can we be certain that God's actions toward us will be filled with grace and not harm? It's not that God's grace is somewhere floating in the air. You know, and if we're lucky, we might be able to just whiff enough of it to receive it. It's made visible in the child born in Bethlehem, in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. The birth of Jesus revealed how God, in his love and mercy and grace, has invaded the world to rescue humanity. The grace of God has appeared, Paul said. The good news of Christianity is that God shows mercy on unworthy people. In Titus 2, Paul not only tells us that the Christian life is about grace from beginning to end, but that grace has appeared in a person. Grace is not an abstract idea. Grace is personal. Grace had fingernails. Grace walked among us. Grace died. Grace rose from the dead. No one is so morally good that he or she does not need the saving grace of God. And no one is so morally bad that he or she is beyond the reach of God's saving grace. The Bible says that all we like sheep have gone astray, that we have turned everyone to his own ways. We've turned our backs from the Lord. And God sent the prophets to call us back to himself. But he sent his son to show us the real depth of his love. God sent his son to reconcile us to him. As Titus 2:14 says, Christ gave himself for us on the cross that he might redeem us or buy us back from all lawlessness and purify for himself a people for his own. A people of his own. You know, once you've accepted the gift of grace offered to you, you become a member of the Lord's family, his child, his son, or his daughter, a precious member of the household of God. You know, it's been many years since Christ appeared on earth and placed in a manger, but the grace of the incarnate God continues to be available to us today. While we can't physically see the baby Jesus this night, we know his presence is with us as we await his second appearing, when he will come back again. As Paul writes in Titus 2:12, we are waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He will come again. And so we are a people who live in hope of his return and the complete restoration of creation, when all that is wrong with our world will be made right. Jesus came to our world with a very simple message. God loves you and wants you for his own. How have you responded to that invitation? Jesus came at Christmas with the gift of saving grace to save us and to restore us, to put us in right relationship with God. Have you received that gift? All you need to do is say, Jesus, save me and reconcile me to God. And he will. That's why he came. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. Amen.